Liran Hirschhorn, your host of the E-commerce Mindset Podcast, and I just finished interviewing the one, the only, Kevin King. If you've been in the Amazon space for some time, you surely know Kevin. But I think you'll find this a little bit kind of a different kind of interview. I've known Kevin since 2015, so we have really good rapport. We kind of spoke a little bit about actually when we met, but then a little bit about different topics. Amazon, we spoke about NFTs and e-commerce. We spoke about the current project of NFTs that we're in that was started by Manny, the original founder of Helium, and why we both kind of invested into that project. We ended up speaking about the predictions for 2023, which I think you'll find interesting, and some of the different projects Kevin is working on. So I think you'll just find it to be a really interesting conversation. The podcast, as always, is sponsored by Incrementum Digital. At Incrementum Digital, we help you scale your business using the power of Amazon advertising, Amazon DSP, optimizing your listings with better titles, bullets, A-plus content, images, helping you with Amazon posts, and really helping you use PPC to both rank products and lower your TACOs, and also optimize your business as it's gotten more challenging over the last year or so. So visit incrementumdigital.com. The podcast is also sponsored by 8fig.co. 8fig is your best solution for growth capital for your business. 8fig helps you not only just get growth capital, but it's one of the most or the most flexible solution for e-commerce sellers to get growth capital, along with a dashboard they have to help you see your profitability and manage your supply chain. Check out 8fig.co. They also recently launched a mobile app, which allows you to see all that data as well. I think you're going to really enjoy this podcast with Kevin King. Okay, so we have with us Kevin King today. If you've been in the Amazon e-commerce space, you must know who Kevin King is. Otherwise, you may not be in the space. So wanted to introduce Kevin, who's got his dog there in the background. Kevin is Amazon seller, speaker. He's been involved in Helium 10, creating Freedom Ticket, Helium 10 Elite events. He runs a virtual and live event called Billion Dollar Seller Summit. Another project with Steve Simonson called Product Savant. We're going to talk today a little bit about e-commerce, NFTs, and some of what Kevin's been up to. So welcome to the podcast.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, man. It's good. Always good to talk with you. There's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on. I'd love to hear.
I remember when I first met you, actually. Yeah. I think it was like 2015, 2016, in Atlanta, wasn't it? It was like Seller Labs, I think, was doing an event.
Yes.
And I went out to that event. Jeff Cohen said, Kevin, you got to come out. You can't speak, because back then we were doing the Helium 10. Oh, it actually was called Illuminati.
Right.
And it was a little edgy. And he's like, we can't have you speak, but you're welcome to come out. So I came out, and I remember the night before, we were all sitting around some break room or conference room or something. And there's this guy over there, you're the only one in the room that knew anything. You're talking, and you had something, information on whatever the topic came up with. And I was like, who is this guy? He actually knows a thing or two. I never heard of him before. And that was you. I was
We go
back a ways.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that was 7 years ago or so,
That was before two babies and
my daughter's eight. So probably right after that. And then I have a 10-month-old now. So long time ago. I'm sure a lot's happened in your life and business since 2015.
Well, I'm doing the same thing. It's kind of I've got a couple new projects, but it's just why mess with something if it works,
Right.
So Illuminati was something that Manny and Guillermo started with Helium 10 back in 2017 to be a more advanced kind of, it's modeled off, Ben Cummings has his thing, and mm-hmm. there are a couple others out there, and they're like, hey, we need yep. something like that. So we started that, and then we got pushback on the name. A lot of people say that name's a little offensive, some of the religious people and stuff. So it got rolled into a Helium 10 as a membership level called Helium 10 Elite. And so I still orchestrate that. Basically, I come on every month and do 7 ninja hacks, and I bring on 3 guests. You've been on it a few times. Some of your team has been on it. Mansoor has been on it. And then I do the Freedom Ticket course. So I've done 3 versions of that for them, which is A to Z on how to sell on Amazon. And I do the $1 billion Seller Summits. I still sell. I have 3 active. I have 4 Amazon accounts. One of them's not active, but 3 of them still sell on. And then do Product Savants. I speak at different events. Coming up, we have one in Brooklyn. I think I'll see you at in Brooklyn, which is a really cool event. Just kind of sticking my head down, doing the same old thing.
Right. It is one of those things, like if you kind of stick into one thing long enough, eventually become very successful, and you gain a lot of like knowledge, network, right? Like, I think so many people along the way that probably we've met that are no longer, in this business, over the years. And also some of the, sort of gurus who were really out just to kind of scam people, have come and gone, along the way too.
They either faded out because they didn't deliver, or the FTC came and got them.
Right. Yeah. There's a bunch of people. I mean, not to specifically name, but I just heard Just One Dime just filed like bankruptcy court. They were selling like an Amazon automation, thing. You had Kevin David and
his partner
automation.
Dave Arnett, I think, or what's the name?
Yeah. And unfortunately many innocent people got hurt along the way who were kind of naive and bought into this stuff. But
one of the things that always like for me is like you're a public figure, you're out there, is people sometimes will try to use you. And you're speaking of One Dime, he's actually based here in Austin, where I'm based. And I was at a Cilantro, like one of these like salad places where you make a bowl or whatever.
Yeah.
About a year and a half ago. And he happened to be at the same place. And I didn't recognize him, but he recognized me. He came up afterwards like, hey, can we take a picture together?
Right.
And I was like, what do you do in that situation? We took a picture together, but is that picture going to be used in some sort of marketing? Am I then validating?
Look,
I'm with, people do this. I'm with Tony Robbins, some sort of validation that you're
right.
So I was like, yeah, you gotta be careful, who you associate with. And, you've known it, you and Brandon used to, I remember a few years ago, you guys were calling everybody out. Online, like someone did something, it was either you or Brandon, like, hey, this is BS, and you call people on the spot, and it was awesome,
right?
It needs to happen more in this business, because there's just a lot of riffraff,
a lot of automation stuff. And I know people personally. I know a guy that told me messaged me about Kevin David stuff like a year ago, and he said, yeah, me and like others, in a group together, it's like, $10 million that we've been conned together. Everyone put in like $100,000, whatever. And, money's gone, and, good luck getting it back,
It's like the FTX guys or the crypto guys. the money's gone.
Yeah.
The money's gone. Sounds good, but the money's gone.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's kind of the importance of why having a network is good, because you can ask people, you can find out about people, you can new sellers just see ads for this stuff and they don't know anyone. And
I mean, a lot of these guys are brilliant marketers. I mean, you look at their marketing, it's like, man,
right,
they could just be legit.
The
marketing is really, really good,
right?
But there's no substance behind it, and it's just a pyramid scheme,
right? I've known you to always be very blunt upfront,
it gets me in trouble sometimes. Sometimes I speak too freely,
right? But it's also something to be said of being blunt upfront and telling it like it is, in everything that you do, because a lot of people take advantage or make money short term and don't do that. But, you know, at the same time, it's like good business because you end up having longevity in the space and people trust you because, you know, you're not looking to take advantage of it. You're looking to help people.
Now everybody needs a little helping hand sometime. And right. There's so much misinformation. I like to like try to help people the best I can and set that straight. You know, I don't have time to answer every little Facebook right. post and stuff. I mean, you were at one point, I remember before you started Incremental Digital, you were like avid on there. Like someone would post within seconds. You were like responding. I don't know how you, yeah. I mean, it didn't matter if it's 3 a.m. You must have had the phone yeah. glued to your hand and just coming in. And you were like super good at responding to everything. Maybe it's my feed is not showing it as much anymore. You're really, really good about that.
Yeah. And generally will answer every single DM, you know, that I get, even if it's a quick, you know, sort of response, or if it's not immediately, I still try to do that. I don't know. It's a combination of guilty conscience maybe, or, you know, not feeling like I'm, you know, not really responding to somebody or whatever it is, but I do try to help when I can, and if I can, respond to something. So let's talk a little bit. I want to get into some of the other things you're involved in, but one of the reasons you asked me to sort of like, hey, let's talk is the idea of using NFTs in e-commerce and, you know, how sellers can leverage it. And, you know, maybe it's not as hot of a topic today because, you know, the whole kind of market has gone down, unless you're in Bulls and Apes, which we're both in, which I think we're probably both up nicely with what we have. But I think it's a really interesting topic. And one thing I'll say about it is that a friend of mine, David Guillaume, who owns Mary Ruth Organics, big brand, you know, 9-figure brand, recently brought on Gary Vaynerchuk on their board. Mm-hmm. And then shortly thereafter, I saw they had a promotion where the founder signed some of the bottles in the warehouse of the supplement. And if you ended up getting a signed bottle, then you won like a VFriends NFT. Oh, wow. Or something. Cool. So it was kind of a cool way. And they did this promotion basically. And, you know, I mean, if you were going to order one bottle, maybe you're going to order now for the next 6 months, you know, of the supplement, because during this promotional period where, you know, you want to order more so that you have maybe a better chance to get one of those signed bottles, which is pretty cool idea of kind of how to do a promotion and kind of integrate it with NFTs. But would love to hear, you know, I know you mentioned to me you've done like hour-long presentations on this topic. I'm kind of how you see it integrating, and do you see it primarily as something off Amazon versus, you know, on Amazon?
Yeah, I did an hour presentation at the Sail and Scale Helium 10 Sail and Scale event back in September on stage, which if you have access to that, or I also did one for Augustus for Orange Click Channel, so it's on YouTube. You could probably just Google Kevin King NFT. Orange Click or something if you want to see the full explanation. But, you know, NFTs are one of those, it's kind of a tricky thing. There's a lot of people that are like, ah, that's just a bunch of JPEG pictures.
Right.
And yeah, some of it is just a bunch of JPEG pictures, but, and it was a hot thing. You know, the markets, I get this daily newsletter called Nifty NFT, and, you know, they have all these little stories. And I just saw one the other day that the market's down, you know, I think the Guardian, they linked to an article in the Guardian and said it's down like 95% or something like that. There was like something like $12 billion spent on NFTs in the fourth quarter of last year. And then now it's like 270 million or something. It's like way down. Right. And that's true. I mean, there was a lot of speculation. There's a lot of get rich quick. There's a lot of fly by night people that were coming in, just trying to make a buck, creating all these crazy things. And most of it had no substance. It's kids in their underwear that were 15 years old. They had never built a business before. They would set these roadmaps and all these things and all these promises. They couldn't deliver on any of it.
Right.
And it became a problem. So a lot of it's just crashed and burned. And you see negativity in the press about NFTs. They're dead. They're not dead. This is the internet, 1998, 1999. You probably remember pets.com. People, yeah. And there was companies selling furniture online. and people, those, they all went out of business. And people,
I mean, look, in 1999, said, I think there was an article, there was a cover of Barron's was Amazon.bust or something, right?
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Predicting, you know, Amazon's not going to make it.
Nobody's going to buy furniture. Nobody's going to buy dog food online. Right. And look now, Wayfair and Amazon, everybody's selling furniture. It's the same thing. It's a shakeout going on right now in the whole crypto world. I mean, there's a lot of fraud. You know, you have the thing with FTX. You have, there's just been a, you know, I was a 30-year-old kid with no business experience. Yeah, his parents were Stanford law professors, but it you know, he was running it like he was running something out of his backyard, you know, moving money around. So there's an issue that this is a shakeout. It's going to get real. And like, well, maybe we can talk a little bit later, but like Bulls and Apes, that's a real project.
Right.
And that's, like you said, we're up what 3X or something on that right now. Everybody else is down. We're up 3X. And I think that's about to go to maybe 5-10X with what they're about to do early next year. And that's because there's real business behind it. They've got 40 employees. They're doing it right. They have experience. And that, more of those people are going to come in. But back on your original question on NFTs with e-commerce, what we're doing, we have a company called Green Ocean Labs, and we do recycled sustainable products. And NFTs are a lot more than just a JPEG. NFTs can be tied to contracts. They can be tied to a whole wide range of things. If you go watch that presentation on YouTube, you'll see I outline it all, but it's a whole wide range of things. It's going to change the way we live. And then that, over the next 10 years, as this takes root in a lot of different industries. And so what we're looking at is using these as something, tying it to e-commerce. It's almost like a membership card. So the NFT itself, we're not selling NFTs speculatively. Mm-hmm. We're not saying here, buy this NFT and it's going to, you hope it 10Xs. No, you're buying this NFT and it gives you special rights. It's called utility in the NFT business. And those special rights are related to the products. So one of the biggest issues you have in on Amazon or Walmart or anywhere else is building an audience to launch a product with. You can go out and build a Facebook group or an Instagram group or try to get an influencer or something, but you need to build an audience. And by having an NFT, it's like a membership card. It's people of a similar mentality that want to participate. And so by buying the NFT, that then gives them rights to actually help us develop products. So they will be, it's almost like our own PicFu. They'll be our own PicFu, and we'll say, you know, if we have 5,000 NFT holders, we'll say, what do you want in a sustainable, all sustainable? You want a baby stroller made of 100% sustainable materials? Okay, what should it look like? And they'll help us through the design process, through the iteration process. And then if it makes sense on Amazon, you know, we'll do our homework and our keyword research and all that kind of stuff. If it makes sense, then we'll go launch it on Amazon. We'll get it developed and made using different companies like Zach Leonard's company or some of the others.
Yep.
And
Gimba.
Yeah, Gimba. And we'll get it made. And then we'll put it up on Amazon and we'll say, look, this audience, since you're an NFT holder, you get a discount. Maybe not even a discount, but if you go buy this product on Amazon, it's live on Amazon, go buy the product on Amazon, there's an NFC, not NFT, but NFC, near field communication code on every single product. If you scan that, we're going to airdrop an additional NFT into your wallet. It's free. It's a collectible NFT. So what we've done is we've created this cycle where people that are passionate about sustainability, people that are passionate about helping develop products and having an input, will then in turn launch the product on Amazon, and they get a benefit by launching that product. And then what we're going to do, it's a tricky situation.
And then you essentially can add them into like a Discord, right? Where
they'll be in a Discord. And then there'll be some gamification to it, just like there is with Bulls and Apes, where they can do different things and earn like different things on their NFT. We have a lore. So we have a story. We have these different worlds. And we have this concept where there's this alien that came down to Earth and said, hey, this planet's totally effed up. I know my buddy over here on the water planet, he can come and help. This, my buddy here on the forest planet, you know, all the sustainability type of stuff can come and help. And so you can earn different things from these different worlds. You know, it's mixing collector mentality, community mentality with e-commerce. It's blending those three things together to solve a problem of launching on Amazon and cutting through the clutter and giving people what they want. And then by holding the NFT, that you also get some, you'll have rights to say like a certain percentage of every product we sell, whether it's on Amazon, Walmart, direct to consumer, whatever, will go to sustainability efforts, and they'll get to vote. They'll say, you know, if we sell 10,000 baby strollers, and we raise, I don't know, what are these going to sell for? $100 a piece. We raise $1 million in gross sales.
Right.
A certain percentage of that, let's say 5%, $50,000 is going to go to a sustainability fund. And they'll get to say what we use that for. As an NFT holder, they'll say, this is great. We want to go, clean up a river in South America, or we want to clean up a beach, Long Beach, and go and take all the plastics off that have been floating up. So they'll get to vote on that. So they feel like they're part of it. It's not just I have a membership card and I'm in a group. I'm part of this. I'm making a difference in the world. And the NFT will be the mechanism, but the NFT allows us to do all kinds of tracking. So we can track what their purchases are. We can track who's participated in different things because it's all on the blockchain. And then every time one of these baby strollers in this example sells, they will earn points just by since they bought one to launch it. It's almost, I can't say, you have to be careful here on the securities. It's just to explain it in layman's terms, it's almost like a royalty. By holding an NFT, they get a royalty. We have to do it differently, but they get a royalty on every one of these items that are sold. So they're making money there. So that's what we're doing. And then we can track, since we're doing sustainability, if we're taking plastic bottles out of the ocean, out of the Mediterranean near Spain to use as the raw materials, we can track it, tie an NFT to the invoice where it came out of the water. There's companies that do this, one called Plastique, and then track that raw materials all the way to the factory and all the way through the process. So, a lot of companies say, hey, we donate 10% to this, or our products are 10% made of this. How do you really know?
Right.
It's going to be all in the blockchain, all transparent. So that's what we're doing. We're hoping to launch this brand. The brand's already live, but we're making a pivot on it. Well, we're hoping to launch it in March of next year, but we're having to wait now because there's a big company and one of the partners it knows the guys at Animoto, which is a huge company based over in Hong Kong that's really big into the crypto and the animation space. And they're coming out with a green token, just like you have the token, the ERC-20 tokens with Wolves and Apes. They're coming out with a green token, and it's going to tie across a whole bunch of sustainability products. And we were going to develop our own, and it's going to cost us about $600,000 to $800,000 minimum, but they're doing it. So we're waiting for them to launch that, which is probably going to be summer, and tie into that. And that's going to get us, just like Bulls and Apes, so it brings all these other projects in, brings all this other audience in. It's going to create this whole flywheel. And that's how we're using it as it relates to e-commerce. And I think this could be huge. It's, this is not something a brand new seller is going to be able to pull off. This is not something I'm going to be teaching in Freedom Ticket. Hey, here's how to, everybody should do this. You shouldn't. Right. It's more for sophisticated sellers, but I think it's going to give us a major competitive advantage, be key to brand building and key to launching anything we want on Amazon successfully.
Right. And so, essentially it's the idea of developing a engaged community around your product. Along with, I guess, what's called like a DAO, right? Which is what it stands for, but basically a group of people that are making a decision.
Decentralized autonomous organization.
There you go. So they're making decisions around what's gonna happen. I've seen, when NFTs kind of originally came out, I think I saw that certain movies, even right, were going to sell NFTs, raise money to make the movie. And then the DAO, the organization, would kind of vote on like what happens, right? What's the ending? Do you want this ending or do you want this ending or whatever it is, like around the movie, and kind of help create it, right? Mm-hmm. So you can kind of do that with e-commerce, with, like you said, future products, or what do you want to donate, or as far as like sustainability efforts, or and utilize that that community. And I guess if somebody does sell that NFT, which has some benefits, maybe discounts or something tied to it, then there's also a royalty that goes back to the organization, some of which can go back into that DAO or whatever it is.
Exactly. Right? Some of the products we'll develop ourselves, but there's one of our partners in this. I've got some pretty key partners that are really tied into a lot of different aspects of the sustainable world. And one of them is on the board of a VC firm that sees all these deals. Also, all these companies that have done sustainable products, whether it be bamboo towels or whatever it is, Right. They're in these incubators and they come to him and he sees all the best ones. And these guys don't have a clue about how to sell retail or how to sell D2C or sell on Amazon. Right. But they have a great idea and they develop a good product. So we'll bring those people in too, into our ecosystem, because we'll have an audience, we'll have a community. And so it won't be just stuff that we develop. Right. It'll be brand new stuff. We're not talking about going to Alibaba and putting our logo on something, you know, changing it slightly. We're talking about like brand new stuff. And they're doing all the dirty work of developing it and getting it up. And we'll say, hey, does our market like this? We have 5,000 or 10,000 NFT holders.
Yep.
They like it. Okay, let's launch it. And does it make sense on Amazon or Walmart or Shopify or wherever? And that's what we're doing. We think it could be very, very successful.
Do you know, I mean, are there any like known or any companies out there that you know of that are kind of leveraging this at the moment or not?
Not that I know of. Not in this way. It's because it takes a lot of different skill sets. You got to know people in the NFT world that know how to pull that off. You got to have the people for us, sustainability. You got to know the e-commerce side. So we have a really good team from all these different worlds brought together that are expert, top experts. So we have an advantage there. I'm sure some people are going to be watching what we do. And if we're successful, I'm sure others will come along and try to do the same thing.
Right.
And they should. And I'm not worried about that. It's difficult. PPC is expensive now and it's difficult to launch. Yep. It's more about brand building. This ties, it's almost like the perfect storm. It brings everything together. And like on NFTs, I mean, you mentioned Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, he has the V Friends, which was successful. He was hot on NFTs like a year ago. And then he kind of backed off a little bit, but I just heard a recording recently where he said he's buying up stuff right now. He's like, this is coming back.
Right.
It may not get to the level it was, but this is the internet. You know, we're such an infantile state in NFTs and the crypto world and all this negativity and gloom and gloom. And people are losing their butt right now. I mean, one of my buddies just lost $15,000 in the FTX deal. And he's kicking himself because 3 days before it went down, he had planned on moving it out. And he just didn't have his ledger with him and he didn't move it out.
Right.
Lost it. It's going to happen, but this is not going away.
Yeah, but, you know, look, at the same time, everybody who has a stock portfolio is also heavily down.
In the last
year. I mean, Amazon, you know, all these stocks, right? Like Amazon is down.
50%. Yeah, I saw today. Yeah.
Yeah.
50%, Facebook, 75%.
50%. Shopify, you know, like, I bought into the Coinbase IPO, you know, like all this stuff is down, you know, that's probably down like 80% or something.
This is just life and business and gambling.
If you're a long-term holder, you know, at least, you know, on the stock side, I think, and you continue to buy when things are down, you make it up. I think on the NFT side, there's, you know, I think blue chip type of NFTs, right? Like
Bulls and Apes.
Like Bulls and Apes, which we could talk a little bit about. I was gonna say, you know, Bored Ape Yacht Club, right? Like
One's down though quite a bit too. And going through some legal issues and some claims, but they're just a really high level public profile. So they're gonna be subject to some of that.
Right. So Bulls and Apes, you know, for those that don't know, the original founder of Helium 10, Manny and Guy, who exited out of Helium, started along with, I guess, a couple other people, started an NFT project called Bulls and Apes. I didn't go into it right away when it launched, but about a week or so later, I started buying. So the price was low. And then maybe a month later, I started just buying more. And really I did it because I was more betting on Manny, right? Who I saw, first of all, I knew him from, I don't know, 2017, 2018, you know, time, maybe 2016 or whatever, until he exited. Obviously he executed very, very well. I also know he's not a guy who's going to, after, you know, a multi-million dollar deal, is going to go, you know, take advantage of people for, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars or so, or $1 million or whatever on an NFT. And I was really betting on kind of what he's doing and how he's doing things differently in the NFT space. And, you know, I ended up, you know, I ended up owning a lot of the NFTs there, some of the God Bulls, and all that stuff has gone up a tremendous amount. And actually, I think in about a month, in February, I think the apes are going to launch.
Yeah, there's a pre-mint in January.
Yes,
that's a certain number of them, a limited number, and then the big public mint will be in February. But yeah, I think it's going to jump. And what they're doing, they're smart. They have business experience and they're executing. Doing this tokenization that they're doing, bringing in all these other communities where you can earn tokens. It's brilliant to bring in this other audience. Right. And the utility that they have, like you and I know I've seen you post sometimes, Manny's brought what, 18, 19 deals to the table where you can invest in, you know, SpaceX and all these different, when he exited Helium 10, it was a very healthy 8-figure exit for him and Guy. So he had a lot of money. So he started investing and he gave me this book for Christmas a couple of years ago. He lives here in Austin as well. Yeah. And he and I are friends and we go to dinner and hang out sometimes. And he gave me this book for Christmas a couple of years ago about his theory about buying 500 businesses and putting $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 in each of these 500 at the very beginning and realizing that 499 of them are probably going to go kaput or make you a very small, if any, return. But one of them is going to be the next Uber or Lyft or Facebook or whatever. And so he has access to a lot of deals that we don't have access to it because we're not big, $10 million investors or something, and he's bringing those to the table if you hold one of these NFTs and you can get in on them. Some of them are really, really good. Then they just did an event, where they had a handful of people come to Austin and they did some crazy, cool stuff. They're really pumping the community and pumping the gamemanship of this and getting people involved. And they launched, like you said, the Bulls in May and the Apes are coming out soon. And there's a synergy between them. They're coming out with a card game, which I'm sure will be on Amazon, a card game version of it. It's really smart execution and gamemanship. And that ties in Manny before he did Helium 10, he was involved in the software business. He ran a joke site years ago and then he was doing apps. And Guy is a brilliant marketer, and that's his background. So the two of them together, plus the other guys they have on the team, it's a no brainer. And so my wife and I both put in, I think in U.S. dollars, $25,000 and the equipment, at the time ETH was a little bit more than what it is now. And we have like 100 between us, 140 of the OG Bulls. We have, I don't know how many teams.
140 Bulls. Wow.
And we have like 10. That's nothing. There's a guy that has 600.
Both.
And that's the big player has 600. He's figured it out. This guy was at the event. I didn't go to the event, but I because it was in Austin and my producer from the Billion Dollar Seller Summit, Mark, he produced that event for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've heard from him and Bradley Sutton was there. Yep. He went and they said that this guy that owns 600 Bulls, he's figured it out that within a couple weeks. I think it was early January, he's going to get to the point where he can make one ETH per day in profit off of his Bulls. One ETH, what's ETH right now? 1,200, 1,300 today or something like that.
Yeah.
And hopefully that'll go up in 2023. But so he's going to make, over 30 grand a month in profit. And that's not, he could sell some of these Bulls and make even more money if he wanted to, but that's just pure passive income profit daily. Without selling anything or trying to leverage it.
Is that from selling the meth token?
Yeah. I think it's from selling the meth, and which is in demand. That's assuming this will continue. But that's, I'm like, damn. And then we kind of got busy and didn't do anything for like 3 months, and we didn't mint a bunch of our teens and stuff. So Manny's cousin, who's heavily involved, said, Kevin, I'll come over to your house and I'll do it for you. If you don't have time, I'll make sure you're maximized. So a couple of weeks ago, he came over and made sure our account was maximized because he knows like every little, we're not up on all the latest little tricks. Like how do you get an extra five here and extra this?
Right.
He is. And so we're ready to go for the Apes. But that's an example of an NFT project. That's one of the few. I think they did the math and we're up, 300% or something like that right now.
Yeah.
And it's because it's a real deal and a real company, a real project that's got real execution, and you can see more of that. So this is not going away, and it's not disappearing. And who knows what's going to happen with Bulls and Apes 2 years from now? Maybe kaput.
Look,
but I don't think so.
The reasons I joined is, number one, I knew that Manny was going to attract other, let's say, successful entrepreneur type into this. So I joined one for the network of the people.
You know, at the beginning, they didn't want to dox themselves. At the very beginning, they were really keeping Helium 10 and the NFT project separate. And then they realized exactly what you just said. They're like, people don't trust anybody. They don't know us. You know, the people in the NFT world, they don't know me and Guy from Adam. And so they said, we need to bring in people that A, have the money to spend, which is our, you know, the e-commerce, some of the e-commerce guys that you and I know in our network, and then that know them. Like you said, you know, the reason you got in is because you know Manny and you trust him. And that's why they had to merge the two.
Right. And yeah, and because I knew that other people in the network, there'd be a bunch of people in e-commerce and there's going to be live events and it's a good networking opportunity. And two, because of the, you know, deals that Manny shares, which, you know, a lot of I'm on AngelList. I was on AngelList before, and Manny, you know, shares some deals from there. But the advantage is, one, by the time a deal gets to Manny, it's vetted by multiple people, and he shares the ones he's investing in, and he also typically negotiates lower fees on, you know, on these deals that have a percentage of profits. You know, if profits are made on the deal, you pay a percentage of profits, and Manny, typically, because he's getting, you know, larger quantity of money and relationships into it, he's negotiating a lower fee. So those are kind of the reasons that I joined, because I said, okay, worst case scenario, let's say even if I just buy one bull, right? Like, now I get into this network and mm-hmm. I'll have, you know, opportunity to join. And then kind of I saw the benefits of the deals and kind of being more active. And then today I have a couple of God bulls. I think 24 bulls and maybe like 30 of the teens or something like that.
Awesome.
Yeah, which is, you know, more in NFTs than I put into anything else. And, you know, I didn't really have much in terms of, like, I didn't invest or lose really in any like NFTs. I bought some, I sold, flipped some, whatever, when it was hot, but I didn't really invest in anything. But, you know, in this particular project, I thought, okay, if I can bet on anyone, like, I'll bet on somebody who's done it before successfully and is going to treat it like a real business. Because, you know, usually if you let's say Manny had $1 million exit, right? Which obviously we know he had multiple eight figures, but if he had $1 million exit, the next one you want a 5X, right? Or whatever it is, you're not looking to do less. So, you know, I knew that he's going to look to make this, you know, bigger than Helium, and, you know, kind of invest and had the money to invest in it too, right?
Yeah, they didn't take. They did that guarantee. I mean, that'd been never heard of. I mean, they said if you buy one of our NFTs, they're 0.17 ETH at the time,
right?
Or 0.22, depending on when you got in, 0.22, which at that time was, you know, $300 to $500, depending on the where you got in on the ETH in right. U.S. dollars terms to get in. And they said, like, look, if you hold, we'll buy this back. If you think we're full of crud, we will buy this back from you. Anytime you want in the next 6 months. There's a few rules. You can't have sold it. You can't have done a few things.
You have to buy it at the mint, right?
We'll buy it back. It's a money back guarantee. So they raised $4 million on their initial mints in 5 days, and they didn't spend a dime of that. That money all stayed in an account with a couple guards on it. And then I'm just kidding, but it stayed in an account and they didn't touch it. They, like you said, they funded the whole thing themselves. They funded everything, and they didn't touch that money. And I think they told me they had four people or something actually do take it. I think it was four. I could have that wrong. It was less than 10.
Right.
That actually asked for their money back. It was next to none.
Right. And those people would have been able to sell today, you know, at three or four times what they paid.
Originally. And when they introduced these apes, you know, there's a whole, for those of you that don't know, you can go to bullsandapesproject.com. And see it. You got to make sure you go to that specific link. There's a couple out there that aren't the same, but bullsandapesproject.com. But they have a whole lore. So there's this whole story, like comic book story, like Avatar right. kind of story about these different worlds, and they give you a few hints of how you want to play the quote unquote play the game of owning these things. And so they're introducing these apes, and they're going to be synergistic with the bulls, and I think it's going to shoot the value up of everything. And I think, you know, we're going to see some big jumps here. and the next, like you said, in the next couple months.
Yeah. Yeah. It should get really interesting. What else are you working on? I know you have Product Savant, and you also have, a virtual and a live, $1 billion seller summit, coming up.
Yeah, we got, I'm wrapping up right now. I got a seasonal business, that does really, really well. I'm in the calendar space.
Right.
So this time of year is just, it's like selling milk because calendars expire.
Right.
So, you know, come January, even though you still have a full year left, nobody wants to buy a full price calendar. So, and you've got to, make sure you get rid of your inventory. Worst case, I can sell into February or March at a discount.
Right.
But so that's a big focus right now is we're totally sold out of one unit. We're about to sell out of a second one. And I got a couple others that, you know, just managing that, just totally get rid of that stock.
Right.
But one of the things I do on that, just from an e-commerce perspective, is sometimes, I misguess, you know, I make a forecast. How many calendars do we need? We're going to sell 10,000 of this unit this year on Amazon. We're going to sell 5,000 because last year we sold 4,000, or what are we going to sell? So I mess it up. Like the one we're sold out of, I doubled the number and it's still sold. It's sold out. But another one, I raised the number, and it's could be because of the cover. You know, the cover can make a huge difference, just like it's your primary image. And that one is not doing quite as well. And so what I do with the extras is every calendar that goes out, there's a little 4x6 card inside, just like those magazines, you know, magazine subscription things that fly out when you buy a magazine. And it says, congratulations, you've won a free random calendar. Just send $10 postage and handling, and then you get a free $20 calendar. And I use that to get rid of all the extra stock, and I build a mailing list. And so I get a lot of people that get the calendar like, cool, I'll get a free one. Here's 10 bucks. And I send them the excess stock, which gives it self-liquidates. It costs me about $6 to actually send it out. And my cost on the calendar is $1.50. So I'm making $2 basically on every one of those. And I'm getting a lead, which then I send a direct mail postcard. So that I'm tied up in that heavily right now. Working on the Green Ocean Labs project, like we mentioned about the NFT project. And then, the $1 billion seller summit, I have a virtual one coming in February 22nd to the 24th, which, you know, there's a lot of virtual events, and a lot of them are pre-recorded, or they're on Zoom or something, but we don't do it that way. It's I think you've been on it. It's totally different. We use a software called Hopin. And it's got like breakout rooms, live chat, everything is presented live. It's totally different, has a totally different feel. So I started it during COVID because nobody could travel, and I was just going to do it once, but it became so popular. I was like, why not continue doing it? So yeah, that one's coming in February. It's about $1,500 for that one, but it's all high level. You know, it's the speakers, this is not stuff you hear on podcasts. This is not stuff you hear on some other free summit or something. So it's all high level stuff. The speakers are motivated with cash prizes to actually come and deliver. And then I have a live event that I've been doing. It's been in Austin the last four times, started in 2019. But this, I said, you know what? Austin's cool. People love coming to Austin, but it's time to make a change.
Right.
Let's do it in Puerto Rico.
Nice.
So in June, we're doing it in Puerto Rico, and we don't have the dates yet. I'm actually flying out there with my producer, Mark, next week. Actually, we won't confirm it until we actually go to the hotel, eat the food, stay there, you know, before I bring a bunch of
that's nice. You
know, high level sellers. We want to make sure this is going to meet the expectations. So we're going out there to sort all that out, and then we'll be announcing the dates for June.
Nice.
That's a little bit more expensive event, but we do it. This last one we just did in September was probably the best one. I'm sorry, August. We did in August. Best one yet. People were raving. I mean, we did the scavenger hunt type of thing that. At the beginning, everybody was like, what is this? And by the end of it, they were like, that's the best freaking thing ever. And the way we did it. So we do a lot of cool stuff. It's not just listen to a bunch of presentations. It's a lot of networking, a lot of cool activities. We're going to maybe even be doing something. I can't say yet, but a really cool game out there that's going to be pretty cool. A lot of fun. I think people will be talking about like Squid Games type of thing. it's gonna be good.
Buy one way ticket to Puerto Rico.
One way ticket exactly. Go to Puerto Rico to retire. But yeah, I organize the speakers on that and sell the tickets. But Mark takes care of all the nitty gritty. So I don't really have to deal with, you know, all the little small details and stuff. He handles all that for me. We've been working together like 30 years. So it works good. And then, yeah, Steve and I are doing some stuff at Product Savants. We have something called Brand Genesis, where we basically, it's five products around aimed at a similar avatar. And it's aimed at more of the big sellers. This is not a done for you thing or anything. We basically find opportunities, source it, and then that's it. We turn it over to you. It's up to you to launch it, to brand it, to modify it, to do everything from that point forward. We just take some of the dirty work out. We're doing that for a few big sellers and aggregators out there. And so far that seems to be going all right. And then I'm selling on my other accounts, fitness products and dog products. I don't talk about those a whole lot, but been doing that since 2015.
And I saw that Helium, actually I was over at Helium HQ and I think you were supposed to be there the next day, but you had flu or something.
Yeah, when I came out to AMZ Innovate back in November in New York, I came back and I felt sick. I was like, shit, did I get COVID?
Right.
And so I did a COVID test. It was negative, but I felt really, really, really bad. And I was like, well, maybe I got the flu. The flu's going around everywhere. This RSV. Yeah, whatever it is. I was like down and out in bed. And that's not like me. Even my wife was like, I've never seen you like this. Usually if you're sick, you still plug on.
Right.
You're like totally out of it. And I was like, I did another COVID test a couple of days later, still negative. And I'm like, what is this? So I got one of those little pulse meters and put it on my finger, and it's showing my blood oxygen level was like 77%.
Oh my God.
So I called my doctor. We have a concierge doctor. I called him and he said, if it's below 88% when you're resting, you need to go to the ER.
Right.
Really below 90, but 88. And I was like, all right. So I went into the ER. They checked me all out and they scanned, they did an x-ray, said, oh, you got pneumonia. They took me in and admitted me to the hospital to put some, you know, tubes in my nose to help me with the breathing, try to get the oxygen levels up. Then the next day they did the CT scan, and the CT scan showed I had water on my lungs. And so they're like, we got to get rid of that. So they got rid of that, ended up staying in the hospital a few days and said, yeah, I was in no condition to come to, supposed to speak at the Helium 10 event.
Right.
And I was like, I can't do it. Right. It took me about until really about 2 weeks ago, before I fully recovered from that.
Wow. Well, it's good you recovered. And Helium Elite will continue to have kind of live.
Yeah, they do four of those a year. It's quarterly.
Right.
And they either do them in Irvine, sometimes they do them in Vegas or at some other place. They'll probably do one around Prosper, I'm sure, in March.
You're gonna be there?
Yeah, Prosper. I'll be at Prosper. Yeah, I'll see you at ASGTG.
Yes,
New York. I'm doing the Sellers Cruise. I'm gonna give that a shot and see what happens on that.
Okay.
In February. And then in March, Prosper, and then I'm going to end of that month, I'm going over to Japan. Gary is doing his Japan mastermind thing.
Gary Wong?
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing in Tokyo, how to sell in Japan type of mastermind thing. It looks interesting, cool. And it's an excuse. I've been to Japan many times. My wife's never been. It's like, I want to take you to Japan. So it's a good excuse to go and do a little business and write the whole thing off.
Right.
Those are upcoming. I'll be in Australia, I think, in November for the Southern Seller Fest, and then Billion Dollar Seller Summit.
Nice.
SellerCon, I think, is in Austin.
I think Ryan Moran is also doing CapCon in April, end of April, in Austin.
Is he doing it? Is he doing it the big one like he's done at the hotel, or is he doing it like he did last time, where it was a very exclusive?
I think he said he's keeping it smaller, not as big as I think he did in the past, from what I saw in his emails. And he's another person that, you know, I was going to mention before. He's launched an NFT for community, for his mastermind Capitalist Pigs, which he's put through as these pig NFTs, which the utility is basically access to the mastermind. So also interesting in how he's bringing community and opportunities for investments in various companies and deals that kind of he's bringing to that community. I was kind of considering, I don't have it, but something I was looking at too, just because, again, his network and maybe opportunities to invest in some e-commerce businesses, and, you know, and the network itself, obviously. Let's end off on a couple of like predictions. 2023, we're about to kick off the new year next week. What do you see maybe changing as far as selling on Amazon?
Well, I think, there's a lot. I just did a podcast with Danny today. I know you guys did 2022 last week.
Yeah,
that was a good episode. I really liked it. You and Brandon and everybody and Steve on that. And we just did y'all did 2022. We did 2023 today. I think, you know, Amazon's becoming harder and harder to actually sell on. There's still great opportunity. To build a real company where you can really get that freedom, it's taken more money and more effort and more team and now than ever before. That doesn't mean if you have $5,000 or $10,000, can you do something? But it's all relative. I mean, what's your goal? Is it to make a little bit of extra cash to go out to dinner? Or do you live in Pakistan where $800 profit a month actually is life-changing? You know, but for me and you, that's not even going to, you know, pay your car payment or something. So it's all relative, but so I think that's happening. I think you're going to see, Amazon's going to release a lot more data. I know you post regularly, like, look at this. They just did this. I think you're going to see a lot more data come out, from the horse's mouth. Some of it, you know, I think Mina was saying today, some of it's not accurate. You got to be careful with some of it. He's noticing there's some inaccuracies.
You have to understand what the data they're showing you is. So example, you have search query performance. One of the aspects of it, they show volume, but that's volume that includes multiple sessions from the same person in a day, which is different to how typically like Helium and other things calculate. And even, search frequency, I think, is based on one session every 24 hours. So there's some differences, and you have to understand what you're actually looking at and Amazon's definition of what that data set is to, you know, understand what it is.
I think you're going to see AI be a bigger role in Amazon sellers, you know, like ChatGPT. You know, there's a lot of software tools out there now that say they're AI. There's like repricers and there's some PPC automation tool that say it's not AI. It's algorithms. It's bullshit. Right. They're not using AI.
But I think you will see.
True AI, I think you're going to see more of that to build listings, to do testing with, to create bullet points, to analyze reviews, to look at
Jasper is already doing that. They have a specific module for bullets and description. Jasper.ai
There's a software called Percy or something too that actually
they reach out
it for specific Amazon sellers. So I think you're gonna see more of that. You know, the Amazon, this inventory thing that's been a big bugaboo, I don't think that was a warehouse space issue on Amazon like it has been in the was during COVID.
Right.
I think it's a labor issue. You know, they're not saying that, but I think they just don't have people that can check this stuff in. And I think they'll get some of that sorted out. I think you're going to see the fees go up. It's going to continue to get more expensive from PPC to fulfillment to whatever. The recession, a lot of people say, oh, it's a recession. Nobody's buying anymore. For me, I'm up this year over year on the same products. I know a lot of other people that are up. So maybe some people aren't buying, you know, some of the people that are not, you know, under $20,000, $30,000 annual income or something, maybe they're not buying as many spatulas anymore, but it's being made up elsewhere. And so I'm not too worried about that. Even the Motley Fool, I think they just came out and said Amazon stock should, you know, it's down 50%, but they're expecting a big recovery this year. There's so many things, those are some of the key ones.
I think another area that's going to continue, I'm kind of bullish on, is the whole buy with Prime space. I had a meeting with a guy who used to be chief of staff for Andy Jassy, who's now responsible for it. He came to New York. I had a meeting with him, and they're investing a lot into buy with Prime. And you'll be able to drive. I mean, we're about to test with a client using Amazon data and audiences like DSP to drive traffic to the website.
I think Shopify, you know, they've been teasing it for a while, but if they're able to launch in 2023 Shopify marketplaces,
right,
combined with Buy with Prime and checkout with Amazon, you know, right, all those, I think that could become number two behind Amazon as far as where, right, you need to be. Amazon sellers who are looking to Walmart or to look into something else, right, I think you need to pay attention to what Shopify is doing. And if they actually launch this marketplace right, that they're talking about, I think that could be huge. Combined with what you just said,
I think they have to pivot to marketplace, even though for years they said we're not launching a marketplace. I agree. I think the signs are there now based on the app that they will. And I also think that they will eventually form a deal with Amazon on Buy with Prime, because, you know, they're losing a lot with Buy with Prime. They're losing the merchant processing fee. They're losing the fulfillment fee, which they bought Deliver, you know, like $1 billion company.
Yeah, and now
Amazon's taking the merchant processing.
When it came out, they said it was, you know, Shopify came and said, oh, don't use this, it's got some bad code or something. And
so
then Amazon went in and they modified one line of the code to make Shopify happy or to dispel whatever they were saying. And now it's, yeah.
I think eventually Amazon will tell them, okay, we're charging 3%. You know, we'll give you a quarter or something on every sale, and kind of, you know, let's make a deal type thing, and maybe Shopify will get behind it, you know. But yeah, I mean, Amazon, it's a big blow, I think, to Shopify, what Amazon did. And I think it's brilliant. And like you said, on the data side, my understanding in talking to this guy, Doug, who used to work like directly, he was his technical advisor and chief of staff with Andy Jassy, is he said, I said to him, look, Amazon's been releasing a lot more data, you know, in the last year or two. Like, he said, yeah, Andy Jassy's kind of philosophy is different than Bezos. He's more open, you know? And so, which means open in terms of sharing the data and open into not just Amazon, right? And Andy Jassy, he was in charge of AWS, which was like the underlying, you know, cloud storage of the internet. And Buy with Prime is kind of that same thing, right? It's now the underlying, you know, checkout cart of e-commerce across the internet. And Amazon has a ton to gain, you know, 3% of all those D2C orders, plus fulfillment, plus merchant processing, is huge, yeah, huge opportunity for them. And they're putting a lot of money, I think, behind it. You know, Amazon bought in 2019, I think, or 2020, they bought an e-commerce platform in Australia. It was something with a Z, was the name. It's kind of like a small Shopify type player based in Australia.
Yeah, I think I remember. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And then they
Zenify or something,
yes,
like that.
Yes. And then they shut it down. But all those people they took in for the Buy with Prime team, for the e-commerce team. And I think that was the reason they bought it, for those people to work on the, you know, on the D2C side. So I think that's going to get interesting too. And I agree with you on the AI. Like, I think it's going to kind of help democratize better image creation and, better image creation. Sellers will be able to submit a raw photo and it'll create, you know, I've already seen stuff like this. Like, you put a ring, it puts the ring on somebody's finger. It creates all different backgrounds. And there's a tool right now just connected with this company called Genius.ai, G-U-N-U-S, that does this for Facebook. They allow you to upload images and images that will create more images from it with different backgrounds, lifestyle stuff, AI, as well as video from it. Mm. And then they connect to your Facebook ads data, and they have a lot of data from clients. And also based on your audience and your targeting, you can post like all the different images you want to post for a creative, and they'll rank it in order of what they think will get the best CTR based on the image and the audience it's tied to and the data that they have on click-through rates and images and all this stuff. Mm. So I'm going to actually took on like an advisorship with them. I'm going to try to help them bring that to Amazon essentially.
That's cool.
Custom image beta for sponsored brand videos, all the creative, right? Sponsored display creative, DSP creative, all these things where you could plug into the same thing. You can see CTR rates on PPC, and then you can kind of have this predictive analysis and image creation. I mean, think of all the sellers now that haven't even implemented sponsor brand custom image because they haven't taken the time or created the images or sized it or whatever. You post, you know, a white background photo, it'll create Amazon posts for you. It'll do, you know, all these things, which is, I think that's where things are going, right? Which means people's creative are kind of going to get better, right? So you want to make sure you have really great creative and video and like you step
you know up. What would be cool? And just if it got to this point with the AI, maybe your genius guys could do this, is what if you could put a picture as your main image on Amazon? It could be, instead of a static file, it could be like some .ai or some .gif or whatever it is, but it ties to some sort of database and it does exactly what you just said with Genius, where it changes out the backgrounds, where it changes out the model based on the profile of the customer. So if I'm a mom that has a baby and I'm shopping for something, the picture is going to be of a mom similar to my age that has a baby in the background or whatever of the toaster that I'm selling or whatever. Or if it's me and you know, they know I like sports and football, it's going to be like, there's a TV with football on the background or whatever, where you could totally customize the image on the fly that actually displays to really target that customer. And that would be cool.
I can see that happening first, like on Facebook or Shopify, where, if the user is logged in or whatever, if you know the user, then you can display different products or whatever to them based on shopping behavior. But I also think Amazon will probably let you do zip code targeting in PPC as well, something they haven't done. And also maybe share where outside traffic is coming from, right? Today you get organic sales. You don't know the source of it, on like where all this traffic is coming from. I don't know why Amazon, doesn't necessarily share unless you have an attribution link that actually works. You don't know the source of, I was talking to a guy who has like content sites, and they feature products there and they get affiliate and all this stuff. And I was talking to him and he's like, sellers would know, right? They would see like where the traffic's coming from, I'm like, no, Amazon doesn't share any of this information with you, like where your outside traffic is coming from, right? Which like maybe some blog just featured you and then you want to go reach out to them, but you don't even know that the traffic came from them and all this stuff. So I think you'll see zip code targeting. I think you'll see more data, more understanding where traffic is coming from. So I think it's gonna get interesting to people who kind of implement and take advantage of like AI, AI image creation and all the things that are gonna come out over the next year. I think it's gonna be pretty exciting. Just seeing ChatGPT is like crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy what you can do. You're talking about outside traffic. I heard you recently on a podcast say that you're not huge on influencers right now. That's the hot thing, is go find influencers. And you said you're actually cutting back, and I'm in your camp. I mean, it's a hot thing. Everybody's saying, go do it. There's software tools to help you find them. But I think it's hit or miss. And if you find one that works, it can be freaking awesome. But the vast majority don't work and they don't move the needle. Yeah, they might sell a couple units here or there, but for the effort, it's really difficult. And I know I'd like to hear what you did. Elaborate a little bit on that.
One of our clients has a product that's like, top 200 in beauty. And he has a couple of influencers, like million followers or whatever, he has a relationship with. When they post, he gets sales, like significant sales. And he was using them a lot in Q4. And we've done influencer marketing for people, but our challenges here with it have been twofold. One, tracking. Very, very challenging, because when you have an organic post on TikTok, for example, the only link on TikTok is in the bio. So when people see something, if they do go to Amazon, they're going to search the brand name or the type of product. And then they may or may not buy your product. They may buy something else, but you don't really know, right? You have to really measure, did branded searches increase? Do you have enough branded searches and search query performance for that to even show up and increase? So you have to measure that. You have to measure, did sales increase? But meanwhile, sellers are making changes to price. They run lightning deals. There's other factors that come into account, whether or not, what is the attribution of the sales? Attribution doesn't work. Like Amazon themselves told me, in-app to in-app, like TikTok to the Amazon mobile app, like it doesn't work. The tech's not there. And they need to work closer with the actual like social media companies in order to get that to work to get the tracking. And we have also run some ads from
You're saying that attribution from a TikTok doesn't work if they go to the Amazon app to order?
If you're on TikTok and you click on attribution and then
you click on an attribution link.
An attribution link and it opens the Amazon app, it does not track or work well. And we saw cases because we ran ads on TikTok with attribution link where people click, because on an ad, it's right there, right? People click, so we would see anywhere between, so on the TikTok ad platform, we would see like 1,000 clicks. And then on attribution, we would see anywhere between 40 and 70% of those clicks actually registering. So we'd see, you know, 400, 600. We would not see all 1,000 clicks that we're seeing on TikTok ad platform for clicks register. So for whatever reason, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, but it doesn't work well.
They got to do deep linking or whatever that's called deep to actually get that to work. That's what Pixelfy Me or whatever that software tool used to do to bypass some of those problems.
Yes, but we just saw consistently, we never saw 100% of the traffic be attributed. So that's another issue. And then, you know, I agree that, you know, sometimes it's hit or miss. We were able to try to do multiple things with that content. So we always got the content from the influencer that is owned now by the brand. We got them to sign something. We took it and we repurposed it. So we had something vertical. We edited it and added like on the side, different text and other aspects to it so that we can use it on sponsored brand video ads, because you can't do what's called, I think it's called like pillaring or whatever, where Amazon will not approve on a sponsored brand ad, video ad, center video with like black on the side. So you have to edit it. We would take text, we'd add other things. So we try to leverage it in other ways. And I still think getting that content is good because you can take it, put it on your storefront. You can put it on your listing. You can, you know, you can add it to sponsor brand video ad. You can use that stuff somewhere. You can even have, you know, add a page to your storefront that just says, you know, customers call a testimonial page. You just have 10 videos there of people, you know, using the product. But at the same time, you could do that with, you know, using a Billio or using Ian Sales has a joinbrands.com, you know, using something like that, which doesn't, you know, is not necessarily relying on the influencer posting it, you know. So I think tracking is hard and it gets difficult, and you don't really know how much value you're getting with driving it to, you know, to Amazon. And you cannot form deals with the influencers where you say, you know, if they use your coupon code, I'll pay you a percentage, because a lot of times people just don't use the code, you know, on Amazon, and you're just going to end up not paying the influencer enough what they drove if they really did drive stuff and people don't use the coupon. So I think it's tricky. I think if I were to use influencers, I would use it for the content, and then I would maybe leverage that for, you know, running ads on social media to my website, or, you know, in other ways. And I think the best way to kind of grow your Amazon business is focusing on the levers you have, you know, on Amazon, and then maybe building your own audience on social media that, you know, you can kind of control and investing in putting content on your page. You know, you can maybe get influencer content or hire a guy or gal in their 20s, pay them, you know, a couple hundred bucks a month to just kind of create videos for you with your products and kind of be a face on your social media and help you grow your social media. And I think that, you know, maybe is a better route, but I don't think you're going to drive tons and tons of sales with it at the moment. If you are, it's challenging to track.
Yeah,
that's kind of what we've seen. I'm also not bullish on Google to Amazon. You know, we do a little bit of it for people who want to have very high ACoS, like pet supplements, where you can get kind of a similar ACoS, let's say, with Google. But we don't see the ranking effects anymore that we saw originally when, you know, 2 years ago when it was on BDSS, right? Like on that virtual, like talking about how to do it properly and how to leverage it. I think Amazon has changed the algorithm, and we just see kind of low conversion rates, you know, 1%, 2% at best conversion rates from Google, and the ACoS is just high. So, you know, I think investing in your creative, launching more products, innovating there, going and spending your money with like a Gemba to develop something really different, patentable, whatever, I think is a better, you know, create an awesome product that's different, I think is a better use case of your funds, you know, than spending, you know, if you had to spend 5 to 10 grand with Gemba to develop something versus 5,000 influencer marketing, I'd say go spend it with Gemba and, you know, develop like real differentiation, because that's what you're going to have is, you know, if we say that, you know, creative is going to be easier with AI, You know, it's going to be about the product. I think Amazon will make a change with reviews. We've already seen them testing, right? Now you see like the ratings, now they're showing like in big, and they're showing the actual ratings and the reviews next to it smaller, right? So I think they realize there's a problem where, you know, certain niches just have, everyone has 10,000 reviews. Nobody new can come in. I think that's going to change too. So it's going to be more about the product along with the right marketing for it on Amazon. But I really think that differentiation aspect has to be really strong in a lot of your focus. And then, like you said, Shopify and building your own audience and, you know.
NFTs, NFTs.
And yeah, and utilize NFTs, create a community. It was really nice to catch up. Look forward to seeing you in less than a couple of weeks.
It's gonna be good.
Speak in New York. That's ASGTG. If you want to check out that event, there's a seller's dinner after. If you want to DM me on social media, perhaps there's still tickets. I can get you a ticket. I know I'll see you at that dinner. Look forward to seeing you in New York. And thanks so much for coming on.
It's been great, man. Anytime. We'll have to do this again.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks.